Thank you so much for joining us once again for The Invisible War. My name is Kevin Harris. We're joined once again in studio with our teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. Today we have a special program because we have a guest, and we're going to hear an amazing story. We're going to hear her testimony. Even though she had been a Christian for 38 years, fully involved in ministry, loved the Lord, she just had some things in her life that would not let go. She needed deliverance, and boy, did she get it. This is going to encourage every one of us. There are some people listening now who are probably going through the same thing that Debbie went through, and today they can hear how to get free.
You know, Kevin, a genuine work of God never exalts us. It always exalts the Savior. I want everyone to listen today with your heart as God speaks to all of us about what He is able to do if we'll just turn to Him.
Dr. Randall, introduce our guest to us today. I love the title that she's put on her testimony, My New Normal. We look forward to this today.
So good to see you, Kevin. Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in to The Invisible War today. We're so excited about our guest. But before I introduce her, I want us to join our hearts together in prayer. Would you make an altar right where you are? I want to pray over this time that God would speak to all of our hearts. Lord Jesus, thank you for the sweet privilege that is ours today to trust you with all that we are and all that we have. I ask you in Jesus' mighty name that you would remove every cover, every block, every lying spirit that would be on assignment to keep us from hearing your word of truth today that can set us free. Lord, I ask you that you would put us all in the circle of your blood, from the north, south, east, and west, above and beneath, for healing, for cleansing, for protection. Lord, may you take this time now and minister your mercy and grace, your love, your truth that can set us free. Lord, heal the sick. Heal our wounds in Jesus' name. Save the lost. Lord, you and you alone are our Savior, and you alone are our Deliverer. Set the captives free. We pray in the mighty, wonderful, matchless, almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so excited to be able to share with our listeners today the story of Debbie Newhouse. It's a story of God's amazing, transforming power. When we allow God to do His work of saving, healing, and deliverance, He always gets the glory. We don't save anyone, we don't heal anyone, and we don't deliver anyone. This is the work of Christ Jesus. If you need to be saved or healed, or if you need to be set free from the stuff that has you bound, you and I have to go to Jesus. Only Jesus Christ can set the captives free. Debbie, welcome to the Invisible War program. Thank you so much for your willingness to come and share what Christ has done and is doing for you. Let me share with our listeners today, Debbie, how I came in contact with you. You had heard the program, The Invisible War, and you shared in an email. As I asked folks to email me, you emailed me and shared with me your story. And it was such a blessing, such a wonderful joy to hear of what God was doing and had done in your life. I just wanted everybody to be able to share in it. And so that's why we've asked you to come. So we thank you so much for your willingness to come and share what Christ has done for you.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I just want to be obedient. I've really enjoyed reading through your book. I'm learning a lot. It's a great Bible study. My daughter and I have gone through it. My husband and I are reading through it, and I really appreciate it.
You know, so often, Debbie, these matters have been ignored by the church today. And when the Lord told me to write the book, I really didn't want to write it. I said, Lord, let this cup pass for me. Don't do this to me. Let the professors and the counselors who have a regular check, you know, let them write these kinds of books. Just let me preach. And he said, no, I made myself of no reputation. You're not better than me, he said. Write the book. It is the Bible study that I needed, that I never had, even in seminary and college as I prepared for ministry. And we can no longer ignore these matters. We're losing our marriages. We're losing our churches. We're losing our children. How tragic it is. If you were on this side of the microphone, you would know of the horrific stories that I get now of children being institutionalized at 5 years old. Now think of that. Who would have ever thought we could ever come to a time when a little child would be so tormented by the evil one? And yet we're here, and the church needs to wake up. We need to wake up, and I believe we will. I believe we have to. I believe there's no shortcut. And so I want to encourage our listeners to get your copy of The Invisible War. You can get it at most any bookstore. You can order it there, or you can acquire it on our website, theinvisiblewar.org. But let me encourage you to get your copy of The Invisible War. Now, if you can't afford it, just let me know how I can help you, because this is a study I believe all of us need. It's a Bible study. It's not a bunch of spooky stories the enemy would have you believe, oh, this is about demons, run from it. The reality is it's about Jesus. Any real study into supernatural matters is not about demons. Any truth, any balanced biblical study, yes, they're there. And yes, we need to learn of their tactics, but it's about Jesus. This study of the Word of God brings us to Him. And so we come today to hear of His wonderful work in your life. Share with us how it all began.
Well, I've been a Christian for 38 years. I was saved, came to Christ, watching Billy Graham on television at the age of 15. And I lived what I thought was a pretty good Christian life, studied the Word, taught the Word, had some challenges, both before my salvation and since I became a Christian in life. I've had some challenges over the years of things that I had to deal with in my life. I have anxiety problems, had panic problems, and I thought I'd overcome them. And one day, first part of February, a couple of incidents happened at work that under normal circumstances wouldn't have been a big thing. But for some reason that day, I was just filled with a real intense anger towards the people involved in these two little incidents. And after that kind of subsided a little bit, I just felt like I was in despair. And I began to cry a lot at work and just felt totally overwhelmed. I thought I was on the verge of an emotional breakdown. And I managed to make it through that day praying, just begging God to relieve whatever it was that was going on, and made it home and just kind of fell into the bed and just didn't really want to talk. And I felt real depressed. It was a real sudden thing that had come over me. It wasn't something that had come on. It just was there. And the next day I went into work, still felt much the same way, overwhelmed, mad at my boss, just kind of mad at circumstances. As a matter of fact, the only person I wasn't mad at was my husband, and kind of a little mad at God, and just really upset, very depressed. And I thought, I've got to do something about this. I didn't know what to do. And for some reason, Lord knows why, I emailed a previous professor that I had. I'm back in college at my age, and he was a psychology professor that I had. And I thought, maybe if I contacted him, he could at least pray and maybe give me some clarity or direction about what I could do in my situation. And I was kind of surprised that he emailed me back right away, and he said that he would get a hold of me, call me the next day, and that he was going to be on campus to teach a class, and he wanted to come by. He thought he knew what it was and that he could help me. So the next day, I came into work, and by this time now, I was just really, I just didn't have any feelings. I was numb and just didn't care. I was almost at the point where I just wanted to go home and close the door and just stay there. And I'm not usually like that. That's not the way that I act most of the time. I'm pretty outgoing. So he called the next day, and I was in the middle of something on the telephone, and I missed his phone call, which I was a little relieved of, because now I was feeling not very smart that I'd contacted a professor of psychology out at my university, and he was going to come commit me somewhere, some hospital locally. And so I missed the first phone call. Second phone call came in, and they contacted me from the front desk and said that he was on the phone. And I said, yeah, could you just kind of tell him that I'm in the middle of a, she said, he needs to talk to you now. So I kind of thought I was in trouble, and I got on the phone with him. He said, Debbie, I think I know what's going on, and I'll be there at 5 o'clock today. Is there some place we can meet? And so he came to the office, and I led him back to my office, and we sat down, and he asked how I was coping with things. And I said, I'm just numb. I just don't feel anything. I really don't care. So he asked me who disappointed me in the past. and how I'd been disappointed. And I don't usually carry a litany around, but I said, where do you want me to start? Because there's a long list. My mom, I never knew my dad growing up, and my mom was married several times. I suffered pretty bad physical abuse at the hands of a couple of the guys that she was married to. And I believe that's probably where some of the fears came from and anxiety that I worked with. I'd been locked in a closet, been shut in a wooden box. I'd been, you know, whipped with lots of different things, including a bow whip one time. And just as a youngster, I was pretty resilient, though, and pretty much thought I'd handled most of that stuff. But I think this time it just kind of all came screeching up on me, and the devil said, I've got a whole lot of stuff I can use right now, and this is the day. So as he began to ask me that, I talked about different things. I have an ex-husband. I was married before. He was a pastor. And he decided one time that he just preferred not to have any responsibility in life. No husband duties, no father duties, no pastor duties. And he just wanted to go his own way. And so we were divorced several years ago. And I guess all these things, the devil just kind of kept on a scorecard. And he cashed in the scorecard that day. And so as my professor talked to me, he said, I think I know what it is. I think the enemy's after you. He said, because I'd written him an email and said, I just feel like Pac-Man. I feel like all the ghosts are after me, and they're not playing a game. They're out to kill me. They want to destroy me. And I really didn't know exactly what I was dealing with. I mean, I know, you know, I've been taught about the enemy. I knew what the scripture said about, you know, fighting Satan, and I'd heard those things. I'd never, ever learned how to appropriate those things in my own life. And never really had victory. I mean, I can see now I never had victory.
And that's true of so many of us. We have good Bible background and good teaching, those of us that have been reared in the church. But we've never really been taught how to engage in this warfare. And what the enemy does, he uses all of these wounds that we all have, all of these disappointments and discouragements, and all of these things that are triggered and programmed for a specific day. It's a time bomb. It's a time bomb. And he decides when he's going to call in all of his imps to finally take us out, he thinks. So tell us now from there, what happened?
Well, as he began to speak to me, he told me, he said, I really think that you're just being assaulted by the enemy. He said, I think there are spirits who are oppressing you, spirits who are just weighing down on you, who do seek to destroy you. And you know, I don't have a real clear memory of everything we talked about that night, but I do know the one thing that was so powerful to me was that he said, we're going to pray in a minute. He'd prayed previously because we're going to pray in a minute. He said, I want you to repeat after me. We were going to rebuke some spirits. The thing that was most terrifying for me that day, though, was he asked me to look him right in the eye to do this. And I was terrified because I've gotten better at looking people in the eye, but for a long time I couldn't. And to me, to look at him, I respected him highly, do respect him highly. And to look at him right in the eye, I thought, he's going to find out exactly what I really am, that I don't trust God, that I've just been living a life that says I trust God, but I don't really. But, you know, the Lord was there in the room, and we rebuked the spirit of fear. I have had a lot of fear. The spirit of insignificance, I just really felt at that point in time, I'd just been rehearsing so many things, replaying tapes in my head from the past. People who told me I was stupid, people who said I would never amount to anything, and just different things like that. And I was all wrapped up in that. So, you know, we concluded that, and I honestly wasn't, I don't even know how to say it. I wasn't into it. I was hopeful, and I was thankful that he'd come to be kind to me. And when he left, I told him I appreciated it. I thanked him for it. And I thought, well, you know, that was nice. He came by. He probably had to do it out of obligation. He's on staff at the school. And he has to make sure I'm not going to kill myself on the way home. So he's got to check in with me. And I was somewhat appreciative of the fact that he didn't bring two guys in white coats to come pick me up with him. So, and I went back to my office not thinking that much of anything had really happened at all. But by the time I gathered up my things, and I was at the point I was going to quit school because I want to be a counselor. I want to help people through things in life. And I was at the point where I was going to quit school. I didn't see any need to go on. I'm 53 years old, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be 105 by the time I get out of school. Who's going to listen to me? And I decided I was just going to quit. And by the time I got my stuff together and I went upstairs to exit the building and go to my car, by the time I got outside, I thought, well, no, I can do this. I need to do this. This is my calling. I need to help people. By the time I got to the car, I had for a couple of days just been slumped over in my seat in the car driving with no purpose. And by the time I got to the car, I had purpose. I was exuberant. I'd called my husband and told him that, you know, something happened. I don't know exactly what, but I think I feel better. And he told me he thought I sounded better. And I was looking for a book that he had suggested, so I stopped by the bookstore and went inside. They didn't have it. When I came out, I was overwhelmed with this need to write. And I've written stuff on and off over the years, but never consistent at it. And I just felt like if I didn't get a pen and a piece of paper, it was going to flow out someplace. And so I sat down with a pen and a piece of paper and started to write. And God just has given me, I mean, every day just about I write. He gave me this wonderful poem about, you know, me coming to him and him coming to me and delivering me and rescuing me. And life hasn't been the same. It is a new normal for me. And I know that I've read the quote before from Vance Havner about, you know, we see so many people, Christians, who are not, they're subnormal, that when we see somebody who's normal, we think they're abnormal. And that's what my new normal is. I feel totally abnormal, but in a good way.
Freedom in Christ is for many abnormal. We've never seen it. We go to church. We have our religious understanding and our backgrounds, and much of that is very comfortable to us, but it's not necessarily freedom. Oftentimes we can go to church and we're covering all of these secrets up that, oh my, if anybody knew who I really was, they wouldn't love me at all. So we keep hiding this stuff and allow the enemy access into our hearts and lives. And so freedom is really normal. It's what Christ came for. He came to set us free. It was for freedom Christ came to set us free, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:1. So tell us about this new normal.
Well, one of the first things is that within a few days after, well, every day after that, just about, the first few days particularly, I just felt compelled to write and write and write about what God had done, poetry and little devotionals and things like that. And the biggest change for me is that my prayer life is so different. Well, one, I have one now. I really didn't have one before. But it's so different because before, when I would pray and say, oh, God, if you could just do this. I would just whine a lot when I prayed, and real just kind of a kid when I prayed. And now it's much more bold, but it's also much more, Lord, I just want to be obedient. I want to be so close to you that I can feel your heartbeat in mine. I don't want anything to come between us. I want to confess anything that there is that needs to be confessed. And believe me, God brings that to mind when I ask for it, and sometimes when I least expect it. But it's just this wonderful thing. One of the things I wrote about was how I woke up in the morning one day, and I just felt like, I have kids, and one time I remember waking up to a four-year-old staring me in the eyeballs, waiting to see if I was going to wake up. And I kind of felt that way with God one morning. I woke up, and I just felt like he was there, just next to the bed, just waiting for me to wake up, like he was just breathing on my face to wake me up so we could spend some time together. And I've never experienced anything like that before. One of the things I said, that I feel like a kid who a long time ago was adopted into a great family with a big house and a lot of places to run around and have a good time. And then all of a sudden, a few months ago, somebody said, here's the back door. And by the way, you have this whole great expanse you can run around in. There's a great playground and there's this little secret garden. And I didn't even know about it. And, you know, the inside of the house was great, but now I'm in the sunshine and it's just, I just sometimes don't have words to describe it. I just don't.
Someone might ask today, Brother Randall, I'm a Christian. Isn't that enough? Please, dear friend, hear me today. In your relationship with Christ, you have been given the legal right to be free. Now, we've talked about what freedom is on this program. Freedom, the word in the original language, is politeis. It literally means your relationship in the kingdom. That which Christ bought for you when he died for you on Calvary. You know, just because you've been given the legal right to be free through Christ, it's not automatic. It's like having a bank account, but just because it's in your name, you have to withdraw from that account. Everything you need is in the finished work of Christ on Calvary when he died and shed his blood for you. But we have to receive it by faith. We have to receive it by faith. Come out of your hiding place of doubt and despair. Come to Jesus. Right now, give your fears over to him. Let him heal those old wounds where the enemy is perched forever, reminding you through his lies that there is no hope. Debbie, you've said it so wonderfully well. You are in the home, but you were relegated to one simple little place when the whole home was yours. You're part of the family of God. Why in the world do we listen to the enemy's lies? Why do we do that? I guess there are thousands of reasons. Let me just simply say, I think it has to do with this whole area of what's comfortable. We get so used to what folks tell us is normal that we never really find out what Christ has for us. Share with us how life has changed for you.
My prayer life has changed, obviously. I have about a 35, 40-minute drive to work in the morning. I pray all the way to work and almost all the way home. I was praying coming home the other day, and you know, again, my prayer is always, it's a different way of praying now. I just want to be obedient. I often start my prayers out by just saying, Lord, I just want to be obedient. I just want to do what you want me to do. And there's this great feeling of humility. I'm not bragging about being humble, but there's this great feeling of just this intense thankfulness that God's done this for me. But, you know, why would he do that for me? I mean, I know why, but boy, I'm just so overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude.
Do you find yourself singing to him more often and worshiping him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't have the radio on the way to work. If I listen to music, I have it downloaded on my MP3 player, and it's all praise and worship music. And my worship time a lot for him is writing things that he gives me that I write back to him to talk about what he's done for me and how grateful and thankful I am.
You know, in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Explain to us as best you can. I know when we speak of the supernatural, words kind of fall short. That's kind of our dilemma as we try to share these supernatural matters. But tell us how the Lord came to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. You told us about the time when this wonderful friend of yours was understanding that it was supernatural and the prayer time. But tell us some of the details of what was going on in your heart and how the Lord has come to set you free.
Well, when I started back to the university, go back to school to get my degree, like I said, I grew up in challenging circumstances and didn't have a father figure growing up. And much of the input from a father figure was from my mother's brother. And he didn't know how to relate to kids at all, apparently, because everything I did was stupid. And that was stupid that you did that. And that was stupid that you did that. And why are you doing that? That's so stupid. And so I thought I had worked through a lot of things. And I'm sure I had worked through a lot of things. But when I started back to school, the very first test I took as an adult student, I was concerned that I was an only child, so I'm an overachiever. And I wanted to do really well. And I'm sitting for the test, and there again, it was one of those incidents where out of no place, I just heard these tapes playing over and over in my head about, I don't know why you thought you wanted to do this because you're never going to finish school. You're just not smart enough to do that. And just on and on is unrelenting. It just, you know, it was a very big struggle. I recognize now more than ever that the struggle that's been taking place with me was not just with me and my thoughts. But I was struggling with the devil and the works of darkness. And sometimes it was a physical struggle for me. I mean, I would have to go to my car sometimes and just say, scream. I just, you know, try to get rid of whatever it was that was going on. I didn't know how to fight it. I was without any weapons, really. I mean, I knew the word of God. But like I said earlier, I didn't know how to appropriate any of that.
You know, if you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. And so if our life has been built upon these lies, this continual bombardment that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, when in reality, we're creation. We are a creation of Almighty God, made in His image to do amazing things. We are His crowned possession of His creation. Far greater than anything He's ever created, He created us. And yet, we don't always believe that, do we? It's a time when it's hard, when people have, out of their own wounds, continually wounded us. And if a child has no prayer covering, of course, those arrows find their mark. And those wounds are never healed. The enemy comes in and attaches himself to those wounds and plays those recordings of how awful we are, how unnecessary we are, how unworthy we are, all of those lies. He plays those records over and over and over again. But the Lord didn't leave you there.
No, he didn't. And that was about a year ago, about 2 years ago, actually, when I started back to school. And I would occasionally deal with that, not real often. After that first attack, it got less, and I didn't deal with it as much. But, you know, I'm taking psychology courses out there. So occasionally we would run across something that really affected me and affected me more than I realized. And we would often talk about things that I thought I'd already dealt with. And I would even share in class sometimes. I'm also a victim of sexual abuse. My mother's uncle molested me when I was about 15. And, you know, so there's that to deal with as well. So just going through psychology classes, I thought I dealt with a lot of things I would share in class. But as I shared in class, I've come to realize that that just kind of fortified the enemy with what I had to say. And he just keeping a good log of everything I was talking about. And that absolutely, that week that I was at my end of my rope was, I think he'd chronicled everything and put it together and just had this major onslaught against me. I was in absolute darkness. As a Christian, there's only been one or two other times where I felt so overwhelmed. And I really thought that, I mean, I wasn't suicidal, but I really just thought, I'm quitting school, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to go home, I'm just going to stay with my husband at home in my room, and that's just it. I just don't want to do this anymore. I really was at the point of defeat. And I didn't know what to do. Even as a Christian, I wasn't sure exactly what to do.
You know, what thrills my heart about your story is that you represent us. This is not an unusual story by any means. Those of us who have been reared in church, those of us who have a religious background, who want to serve the Lord, who have given our lives to serve the Lord, we can still be in absolute bondage if these places of our woundings are not healed and cleansed. And, you know, God is just greater than our wounds. He's bigger. He's greater. The enemy would have you believe that you're wounded, you'll never amount to anything, but it's a lie. All of that's a lie. God is greater, and the Lord Jesus wants to show you that he's greater. He's greater than our fears. He's greater than our wounds. He is greater. But you and I can never know the power of his love until we allow him to show it to us. It's okay. It's okay. There are no secrets in heaven. It's always best to uncover this stuff and let the Lord shine his light on the secret stuff. God is greater. Well, Debbie, tell us again how things have changed since you allowed the Lord Jesus to expose these liars and throw these murderous intruders out of your life.
First of all, overwhelming freedom, obviously. I've kind of felt like somebody living in a basement, and I could see the light. I knew the light was out there, but I'd begun to fill my little basement with all kinds of trash and stuff, and it was becoming darker in there, and I didn't really clean anything up. I would confess things sometimes to God and ask God from the standpoint of, you know, can you just, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Not sorry particularly for any sin, but just I'm sorry. You know, I just want to do better. And, you know, the cursory things that we always say as Christians, you know, we occasionally get convicted at church and, you know, we either go to the altar or we fall before God and we say, I'm so sorry. I know I can do better and I apologize. I'm so sorry. But we don't really, I never did. I'll say for myself, I never confessed for things particular. And I seldom went back to my past to confess anything in the past, to let the Lord just take that. And I was like a lot of Christians, I guess. When I got saved at 15, I thought, hey, everything's cool. I'm saved now. Everything's healed. It's all good. It's just all good stuff. But I didn't realize that my discipleship had to take place. I really had to do more growing. I studied the Word of God. I have a passion for the Word of God, but I study it like a textbook. I didn't always appropriate it. And the thing that has changed is the way I approach the Word of God. I have a regular daily time just about every single day, and I never could do that before. And I always said, God, could you just help me? Could you make me do that? And now I want to. And I just, like I said earlier, my biggest prayer is I just want to be obedient. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do so that there's nothing between us, nothing.
I want all of our listeners to understand that the enemy never stops trying to find a place to intrude so he can control our lives through his lies and fear. Demon spirits can't be destroyed. I want to say that again. Demon spirits, these unclean spirits, cannot be destroyed. They can be bound. They can be cast out. They can be put in torment. But it's not time yet for them to be cast into the lake of fire. That's coming, praise the Lord. But it's not time yet. I have learned that wherever they have left, they always try to return. Always. I want to ask you, Debbie, what are you doing to make certain they don't come back?
Well, I'm real mindful of the fact that I don't want them to come back. I don't want to be tormented by them. So my professor was great because he gave me some verses to memorize and to use, reminding me of the fact that when Jesus had to fight the devil when he was out in the wilderness, he used scripture against him, and that's what we need to use as our defense too. I was telling my son the other night that our armor of God that we put on, we have one offensive weapon, and it's the Word of God. And on my way to work in the morning, when I get up on the way home, I often thank God for the pieces of armament that I have, and I'm thankful to God for those, and I rehearse those and recite those as I go to work, that I'll be fully armored and able to withstand whatever the devil does throw at me by God's grace.
You know, one of the great joys of this ministry is to be able to hear wonderful stories like yours and how the Lord is now using you to minister to others, not just through this program, but how the Lord has used you to minister to others. We find an amazing truth in the Word of God. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me today. Listen to the Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, Debbie, share with us how our Lord is using the very things that you were so afraid others would find out about. These are the very birthplaces of the healing ministry in your life to others. Share with us what God's been doing.
Well, my daughter and her friend attend a different church than I do. They go to a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights. And my daughter had been sharing with the teacher there what had been going on with my life and now with theirs. And the teacher stopped in mid-lesson plan and said, we're going to go in another direction. And so she launched out to begin to teach on spiritual warfare. And Stephanie, having talked to her about what had gone on in my life, said, you know, I bet my mom would be glad to come talk to the class about what happened. And so she contacted me, and I said I would. I agreed to, and I went to the class, and I spoke. And when I was done, there was a couple of ladies hanging around, and one of them I stopped to talk to, and she thanked me profusely for coming and speaking on the subject because she felt that we were woefully inadequate in most of our churches about teaching on this. And then there was another young lady who'd kind of just stayed off to my right or my left, just behind my eyesight. And at one point, I realized she was there, and I turned to her, and I said, we need to talk, don't we? And she was kind of surprised by that, and she said, yeah, I guess so. Well, we stepped outside to speak so that we had a little more quiet out there and in secret and not being able to be disturbed by other people. She said, so that stuff you said about being abused, did that really happen to you? And I said, yes, it did. And she said, well, how do you get over that? And I said, well, first of all, I asked her about her relationship with the Lord, whether she'd ever had entered into a relationship with Christ or not. She said she had. And I said, well, the one thing you can do is know that you're valued by God because he gave his very son for us. And she began to cry a little bit. And she said, I just don't know how you get over things like that. I just don't know how you forgive. And I asked her who she was most angry with. And she said, myself, because I should have told somebody. And I said, but you were a child. You didn't know what to do. And we talked for a little bit. We prayed together. But I brought somebody with me that night, a friend of mine from the church that we go to. And on the way home, we talked a little bit. And then we spent an hour and a half in the car in front of her house talking about this. And the Lord really just impressed me to challenge her about her attitudes about things. She was angry and had this great rebellion kind of churning inside of her. And so we talked for a while and we prayed together. And she contacted me a day or two later saying, I went into the house, went straight to my room. I got down on my knees, and I just asked God to keep revealing things to me to confess. And she said, I prayed for hours, and I've been waking my husband up or telling my husband, we need to talk about this. I need forgiveness for this. She said, I called my mother and asked my mother to forgive me for being angry with her because she was a victim of sexual assault when she was younger as a child, and her mother, she felt like hadn't done enough for her. And she'd been angry with her all these years. And she called her mother and asked her to forgive her. And recently, when I knew I was going to come on the program, I sent out emails to a lot of people and contacted a lot of people and asked them to pray. And I've received back several requests for my story of my new normal, what's going on with me. I've had opportunities to talk to people casually And I'm a little skeptical sometimes. I'm never sure how I'm going to be received when I talk to people, being a Baptist. Some of them are a little skeptical about anything supernatural, and so I try to ease into the subject, but the Lord's telling me you don't have to do that. You can be pretty bold about it. So I'm working in that direction.
Well, it is such a joy to know how the Lord uses the very things that the enemy intends for our destruction. Once they are cleansed, it becomes the very seedbed of ministry to others. You know, we are so deeply grateful that you've come today to share your story. And as Debbie has shared, she writes a lot. And if you would like a copy of her testimony, if you will simply email me at theinvisiblewar.org or call us toll free 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We'll be glad to email you back a copy of her testimony called My New Normal. Debbie, I want you to read some of that which you have written about your journey. You write so well. The Lord has given you a wonderful gift here. I could read it, but it'll sound so much more natural coming from you since you wrote it. Would you read this wonderful piece about that which the Lord has done for you?
Thank you for helping me see where I stand in this battle. Thank you for helping me see myself as you see me, not as a victim, but as a victor, not as a conquest, but as a conqueror, not as the cowering prey, but courageous in prayer. Thank you for showing me that I need not live in fear, but I may have confidence to live as one whose union with Christ produces the perfect love that casts out all fear, whose voice booms a command to the unruly churning waves of unrest in my soul, and they obey, silenced at the words, "Be still." Thank you for the arms that reach out to comfort, upon whose palms my very image is engraved, and upon whose chest I often lay my weary warrior head to seek shelter and find rest.
Dear friend, Christ has done all that needs to be done for you to be set free, for you to be delivered. Would you receive it today? Would you allow Jesus to take you to that place that no one knows about? That place where sorrow and fear are reigning? Jesus wants to show you that He is greater. Let Him go there. Go there with Him. Let Him take you to those secret places. I can't do it for you, but I can do it with you. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Just say the words after me. Would you do it? Father, I thank you for Jesus and for my salvation through Him. That's right, pray it after me. Father, I thank you for Jesus and for my salvation through Him. He is the Savior, and I am the sinner. I am so grateful to be washed in His blood. And because you have forgiven me, I choose to forgive others. Everyone who has hurt me, everyone who has lied to me, and everyone who has disappointed me, I forgive. I repent of unforgiveness. I know it is sin. I forgive myself and apply your great forgiveness to my life. I repent of anger, bitterness, hatred, of rebellion, resentment, and revenge, of envy, jealousy, and strife, doubt, unbelief, skepticism, of lust, of witchcraft, and idolatry, and all the works of the flesh. I denounce the sin of my ancestors. I totally separate myself from any generational curse that has come down to me. I renounce all unholy vows, pledges, oaths, or ceremonies, and I choose to be free from all permission of secret society curses. I denounce all unholy soul ties and confess them as sin. For Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. He is my deliverer and my healer. And He broke the power of all curses. I choose to be free, and I will be free in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you've prayed with me today, we want to hear from you. Would you contact me on our website, theinvisiblewar.org, that's theinvisiblewar.org. Let me know of your concerns. If you have burdens, prayer burdens for others that you would like for us to help you carry, let us know about who you are concerned about. We'll be glad to pray with you about these matters. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Thank you so much for the sweet privilege that is ours today to have been able to bring you The Invisible War.